Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about choosing your interest rate. Oh, this is a good one. So with interest rates already...
This will be an interesting one.
Oh, you're so... Honestly, go and have some kids already, Andrew, because you've got the worst dad jokes ever. It's terrible.
Tough crap.
So with interest rates already on the rise, how should you be picking that interest rate? How do we figure out which one's right for me? Now, look, brokers will often say, base your decision on your individual situation. And while that is true, I always hate it when people say, oh, base it on your individual situation. And then they leave it at that because it's like, well, how do I figure out what my individual situation is? And what are some things that I should be thinking about? So that's what we're going to go through today. We're going to talk about what the advice has been so far, some things you should think about when choosing your interest rate in terms of assessing your own situation. And then, oh yes, we've got a spreadsheet. We've got a spreadsheet for you to try and figure out which is the best interest rate if we're just looking at pure financial terms as well. And it's almost embarrassingly simple, but I'll give it to you anyway. So kick this episode off for us, Andrew.
So most of the mortgage brokers that we work with, the advice that they've been giving investors so far has been kind of to follow the 1 year rate. And that's because, quite frankly, it's been the lowest and it's been trending downwards. And so it seemed really attractive and you can get a good deal. And if you didn't get a good deal, you can move to another bank and get another cash back. And so it's been quite a competitive market. I mean, personally, I quite like the long-term rates. And so I like certainty with my investment portfolio because I've got a lot of debt. And so I often fix for 5 years, but I did have to pay $500,000 worth of break fees across my different banks when we were selling and restructuring some stuff a few years ago. So it's not always the right thing to go for the longer term rate. So that's why a lot of people have just been going for the short term rates while the rates have been trending downwards. But how do you go about choosing the interest rate that's right for you? So there are a few things. The first thing that I take into account is your risk appetite. So for me, I wanted to have quite a lot of certainty. So I was probably more conservative, believe it or not, when I was choosing what my contributions were going to be. And so I wanted to make sure that, yeah, okay, I might pay a bit more for the 5 year rate, but I was happy to have 5 years worth of certainty until the rates came down. If you're more aggressive, you're more risk seeking, you like the thrill of all those exciting interest rate changes, maybe you go a shorter term. Maybe you go, yeah, if you paraglide at the weekend, you also fix for 1 year. If you're that crazy, adrenaline junkie.
Well, I actually am an adrenaline junkie, Andrew, so I go for the 1 year, right? The second thing is you've got to think about your potential for needing to break the loan. So, I mean, Andrew, before that's an extreme situation, thanks, needing to pay $500,000 worth of break fees. I mean, if you want a thrill, I mean, just imagine that coming out of your bank account. That'll keep you up at night. But if you're planning to sell in, say, 2 years' time, it's generally not the best idea to fix for 5 years because by the time you sell, you naturally need to break that loan. So I do think that's important to just think about if you're going to sell a property. And the reason is because if you are going to sell in 2 years, but you've got a commitment to pay that mortgage for five at a specific interest rate, it just becomes a whole lot harder to switch out your mortgages. You may need to end up paying a break fee if things don't go 100% to plan. So usually if you're going to sell in 2 years' time, you might like to think about fixing for 2 years. And similarly, if your interest-only loan period, so if you've only got an interest-only period for the next 18 months, say, then probably not the best idea to fix for 2 years, because what you want to do is have those match up. Because if you fix for 2 years and you've got 18 months left on your interest only, at that 18-month point, for the next 6 months, you're going to be on principal and interest. So, you know, you really want those things to match up. So really do think about, well, what's my timing with selling? What's my timing with the interest-only period? But, I mean, that's not all you've got to look at. What else do you have to think about?
I think you kind of need to make a judgment call on where you think rates might go. And nobody knows really. I mean, we all make these predictions and these forecasts as to what we think might happen. And you know, most of the time you're right, but sometimes you're wrong. So if you think the interest rates are going up, then probably better to fix for a longer period of time so that you can kind of see out that rise in the rates. If you think they're going down, probably better to fix for the shorter term. And again, you know, people like me who are pretty good at this kind of stuff still get it wrong. So you've just got to kind of fix in the rain and forget about it after that.
I also think you've got to think about whether market movement's already priced in. So what do I mean by that? So right now, the long-term interest rate, you know, for a 5-year, it might be something like a 4.25. It might be a 3.99. Now, we've been predicting, and pretty much everybody is out there now predicting, higher interest rates in the future. So instead of just jumping at the 5-year and saying, I'm going to take that because interest rates are going up, you do have to consider whether the 5-year rate is already more or less where it's going to be over the long term. So have they already set the interest rate for what the long term rate is going to be or where it might go in the future? And just to give you an example of that, that's a bit of an analogy with the stock market. Let's say that two companies plan that they're going to merge, or the warehouse announces that they are going to buy out Freedom Furniture. Now, when that information gets released to the market, often the price of a Freedom Furniture stock will increase because they think, oh, there's going to be a great deal. I'll buy the share and then, you know, get a payout when the warehouse looks to buy it. Now, 2 months after that information has been released to the market, it's almost not as relevant anymore to the price of Freedom Furniture shares. The reason being that the information's already out there. People expect there to be a windfall. And so that has already been priced into the value of the stock. And I often think that interest rates are relatively similar. If we all know that interest rates are going to increase, naturally, that has been priced into the long-term interest rate already. And just to give you a bit of an example, back when interest rates were really low, the 1-year rate was 2.19. On average, the 5-year rate was about 2.99. So there was an 80 basis point difference between the 1-year and the 5-year rate. Right now, the ANZ, 2.79% is the 1-year rate. What's a pretty good 5-year rate? 3.99. So you've got 120 basis point difference between the two of them. And so that margin is not always the case. So it may not always make sense to just say, look, I think interest rates are going up, and so I'm going to fix for as long as possible because that market movement may already be priced in. But look, I realize that that's all a bit complex and a bit financy. So let's jump into the spreadsheet that I've built. And it's very simple.
You've been excited about this all day. He even sent it to me in advance of this and said to me, oh, it's quite basic. It's quite basic. He's almost a bit embarrassed about this one. So he'll slap a logo on it and hide some more fields so you think that's more complex in the background. But it's quite a useful tool, actually.
Well, I mean, it's really just a thought process, which says what you do is you put in your 1-year forecast. So look, I mean, look into your crystal ball and your tea leaves. What do you think the 1-year rate's going to be over the next 5 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And then all you do is you put in, well, what are you currently being offered? What's your 1-year, your 2-year, your 3-year, your 5-year? And then it just plots that out and says, well, if you went on the 2-year rate, which right now is 3.25, let's put in 2 years worth of 3.25 and then revert back to the 1-year rate. If we're fixing for 3 years, let's take 3 years of the 3-year rate you've just been offered, then we'll do number 4 and then number 5 at the 1-year rate. And what it then just does is a very simple average. Well, what was your average rate over those 5 years? And what has actually surprised me on this is because the 1-year rate is still pretty low compared to those other rates, even if you saw a pretty big jump, let's say, and I'll just give you an example here. Let's say that you think the 1-year rate this year, it's 2.79, then it goes to 3.5, then 4% for 2 years and ends up at, you know, 4.75%. Well, if I compare that to a 3-year rate of 3.49% straight away and then reverting back to the 1-year rate, the 3-year rate would actually still come out more expensive than the current 1-year rate, even though we start to see, you know, higher jumps later on. And so it's just a very, very simple but somewhat useful tool to just think, well, economically, what's going to give me the lowest average rate? Now, obviously, if you're more conservative, you just put in whatever you think the interest rates are going to be, you might end up seeing that the 5-year rate may be economically the best decision for you if you think that interest rates are going to go up. But look, what I'll do, I'll just pop a little link into the show notes. As I said, very simple spreadsheet, but potentially might be useful just when you are thinking about, well, which rate should I go for? Which one's going to be the best one for me? And what you actually might see, you might say, hey, you know what? There's not that much difference between the, you know, the 1-year and the 5-year, right? In terms of the numbers I've got in front of me through the spreadsheet. I'm just going to lock in the 5-year rate because I want the certainty. And in which case, sweet. If that aligns with your kind of predictions for the market or your sense of risk, go for it. But I think this will be just quite cool to figure out what do you think economically is the best rate for you. And one other thing you can do, which is just want to point out, is also apply a dollar cost averaging strategy to your pick of interest rates. Just explain to us what we mean by that, Andrew.
dollar cost averaging is a kind of way of often used in something like shares, something a much more volatile market. So say you wanted to buy $1,000 worth of shares in Apple. What you might do so you get the best of both worlds, so the good times and the bad times, is you might spread that investment over the next 12 months and purchase your, whatever it is, $80 worth of shares every month so that you get some months which are higher than others and some months which are lower than others, kind of average out your purchase price. Now you can do the same with your mortgage. Now I'm not suggesting you break all your mortgages into five chunks and fix for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, but you could do something like that. You might split it in half and go, I'll go half on 1 year because it's cheaper at the moment, and I'll put half on 5 years so that you bring down your average rate. And you know, the great thing about that as well is if rates start to trend upwards and you go, oh, I can't sleep at night, this paragliding lifestyle isn't for me, you can break your fixed 1 year and you can put that on 5 years as well. Don't think that you have to have your mortgage all at the same rate, even though, you know, it can be a little bit easier sometimes. It could be a better way of just managing those interest rate fluctuations over the next wee while.
And just one last thing as well, just while we're talking about it, there are situations like right now where, you know, myself, I'm paying a higher interest rate on a portion of the loan because you might put it on a revolving credit, or for me, I've got an offset account on one of my mortgages because I'm wanting to pay that down quickly. So the downside is I'm paying a floating rate, but the upside is that I can pay off as much of that as I like at any time. And that's really beneficial when you're trying to aggressively pay down debt. So if you want to do that, you might also think, well, you know, a bit more expensive because I've got a portion on the higher floating rate, but it still might be worth it for you in order to do what you want to do financially. So these are just some things to think about. I tell you what, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to check out that spreadsheet, I'll drop a link into the show notes. So just tap or swipe over the cover art. It'll be in there. And if you want to come along to our webinar, it is coming up Tuesday, 19th of October at 7 p.m. What are we talking about? We're talking about how to live off your investment property portfolio. So how do you set up your investment property so you can eventually live off that and fund the lifestyle you want? Want to come along to that? Link's back in the show notes. Or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ian McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of New Zealand.